With Hashem's loving grace, welcome to Emunah Beams with your host, Laser Brody. Today's podcast is entitled, My Name is Bailey, Not Bilky. People ask if there's anything wrong with calling someone by a nickname. Well, there sure is. If the nickname is hurtful, then it constitutes an Iser Doraisa, a transgression of Torah, just as bad as eating treif for violating the Shabbos. Well, let me tell you a story about a Beis Yaakov girl that was insulted on their day of her bas mitzvah. The young lady's name was Bailey, and she named after one of her righteous great-grandmothers, and she had an overweight problem. She was top of the class in academics, but in the jump rope department, she didn't shine, to say the least. Well, the class queen pasted her the nickname of Bilky, which connotes a fat and doughy bread roll. Bailey, with no choice, would smile and acquiesce when the other girls called her that, but it hurt her deeply. Then the day of her bas mitzvah rolled around, and her mother made a lovely party for her at home, inviting all the friends and classmates. Well, the class queen showed up with her entourage of three or four groupies, and they marched into Bailey's house with an earshot of all the guests and relatives, called out, Mazel Tov, Bilky! Well, Bailey's cheeks turned pink to crimson red to white and then back to red again, and she felt dizzy and nauseous. She couldn't contain the pain anymore and the humiliation, and she broke out crying. Without a word of protest, she ran up to her bedroom and buried her face in the pillow. The class queen was by no means stupid. Yeah, she was cruel and foolish and arrogant, but she wasn't dumb. She left Bailey's house and ran home with no entourage this time. She had ruined a classmate's bas mitzvah, and she knew it, with one hurtful word. She too ran up to her room and locked herself inside, refusing to tell her mother what happened. But in a few minutes, Bailey's mother called the queen's mother and gave her a play-by-play exactly what happened. Bailey's mother said, You should know that Bailey forgives your daughter, but as much as she tries, my daughter can't get over the pain of having her bas mitzvah ruined like that. You know something, a name is so important in Yiddishkeit that even if one letter of a name is wrong or missing, then a ketubah is not kosher. You should tell your daughter that there are all kinds of horror stories about girls that do such things, like not being able to find a shidduch or not being blessed with their own children. For your daughter's sake, she should make tshuva. Now, I'm not a rav, so I can't tell you what to do, so please contact the rav, and meanwhile, you and your family should be blessed. And that's how Bailey's mother ended the phone call. Well, the class queen's mother, she used to come to my lectures whenever I'd come to New York, and she found my email address in one of the books I wrote, and she sent me an email asking how her daughter can possibly do tshuva to rectify what happened. Well, here's what I wrote her. Dear Mrs. Whatever, I'm glad you wrote. Calling someone by an insulting nickname, and in parentheses, the victim decides what's an insult and what's not, is a terrible transgression of Torah, which we call onus devarim, or verbal abuse in English. The Talmud in Tractate Bava Metzia, page 58b, says that one who calls a person by an insulting nickname goes to purgatory and doesn't come back. Your daughter, therefore, must immediately rectify by asking Bailey's forgiveness, not privately, but publicly, in front of all the classmates, in front of the teacher, and making a solemn promise to Bailey and to herself that she'll never again address any other person by an insulting nickname. I also suggest that she buy Bailey a lovely forgiveness gift, like gold earrings or something that Beis Yaakov girls like. And that's the end of my email. Maybe you're asking, what's the big deal about a nickname? Well, in Judaism, it's a very big deal, because one's name is an indication of the nature of his or her soul and the soul's mission on earth. Don't ever forget that one of the virtues that tipped the scales for the Jewish people during the heavenly hearing that determined whether they'd be free from Egypt or not was the fact that not a single one of them changed their name. Yerachmiel didn't call himself Rocky, and Rivka didn't call herself Ricky. They proudly retained the names of their birth. The original Hebrew names of our ancestors are what saved our people from assimilation and guarded them from extinction in the long night of Egyptian exile. Even more so, the fact that they remembered their names reminded them of their ancestors they were named after, their traditions, and their vision of the future. All this together kept the spark of hope and redemption alive in their hearts. As long as they remembered their names, they were still part of the Jewish people, no matter how far away they were from day-to-day observance. While Rocky has no holiness and means nothing more than a tough guy or a head full of rocks, Yerachmiel means, May Hashem have mercy on me. Such a name arouses divine compassion every time it's used. A nickname, particularly a derogatory or assimilated name, it does just the opposite. Well, recently, I was approached by a young lady from a secular family here in Ashdod, who's 28 years old, university graduate, personable, intelligent, attractive, and she had a well-paying job with a communications firm. Yet with all her merits, she hadn't found her soulmate. And I asked her what her name was, and her answer almost knocked me off my feet. She said, Lilith. Oh my goodness. The Zohar mentions this name dozens of times as the wife of the Samach Mem, the Satan, the evil inclination, the angel of death. Heaven forbid. How could parents give a child such a name? Because it sounds in or cool or modern? Without batting an eyelash, I told her to come to our shul, the Militzer Shul, next Shabbos morning, where we made a blessing for her over at Open Torah School and changed her name to Leah after one of her upright grandmothers. 2 weeks later, Leah was introduced to a special guy, and 6 weeks later, she became engaged. There's a Jewish tradition attributed to the Kabbalic masters that one should recite a verse containing one's name or beginning with the first letter of his or her name and ending with the last letter of her name before stepping back at the conclusion of the silent amida. I'll give you an example. My name is Eliezer Raphael. I recite the first passage for Eliezer that begins with an aleph and ends with a resh. In my case, it's Psalm 20, this 8th verse. And the second passage for Raphael that begins with a resh and ends with a lamed. And that's find that in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. This particular ploy enables a soul to remember the name even in the hereafter. Apparently, even there, remembering our name is important, for in our name lies the secret of our soul and our self and our mission in life. That's why Jews always place great emphasis on naming a child, for in that name there lays the history of our people, the past of the family, and the hopes and future and blessings of the newborn success. That's why you shouldn't give a name or change a name without consulting a very important and knowledgeable rabbi or rebbe or spiritual guide. This is truly a great deal in our names. All of us should go by our Hebrew names because that connects us to Am Yisrael. Just as our names were the key to the eventual redemption and exodus of Israel from Egyptian slavery, they'll be the key to our full and complete redemption speedily in our days. Amen. God bless.